Good morning, 7:39 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. In studio with me here, we have Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, we have a lot to talk about. Welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing great. Let's start with outside of our county, because I know, you know, we had kind of held off talking much about the Okaloosa deputy Duran, who shot and killed Robert Fortson, the airman in Okaloosa County, in this apartment case that it's a terrible tragedy all around. You know, the report has now come out, the IAIA report for the Okaloosa Sheriff's Office. That's not the FDLE report. So that's not the criminal findings report. But it is the report itself. And, you know, I know you had, you know, kind of waited to say too much about this, which I think is, you know, appropriate respect for fellow sheriff's office and let the process work its way out. But you've obviously seen the body camera video and you have, you know, what do you have to say at this point based on he's been fired for violating policy?
Again, I think that what you'd look at is this is an internal report. And the reason I had held off on commenting about it is because I'm not privy to what the comments of the deputy would have had mm-hmm. or some of the circumstances that they would be. But their internal investigation sounds like revealed pretty much what I feel like. It was inappropriate. I don't feel like it was necessary to fire the weapon in that circumstance. So I would support Sheriff Aiden and the conclusion that their internal came back to, and then his decision to go ahead and terminate the deputy. Now, just because the IA was completed and submitted to the sheriff doesn't mean he has to terminate. So he had to make the decision to go ahead and terminate. Again, as you mentioned, that's the not the criminal aspect of the, right. of the investigation. That is their internal, whether policy was violated sort of thing.
So, and also it's important for people to understand that a police officer can violate policy and lose his job, but not wind up being subject to a criminal charge because there are things that might be out of tolerance for policy, but might not also be crimes, correct?
Yeah, there's concurrent investigations. There's a criminal investigation, and then there's not really a civil, but an internal investigation. Mm-hmm. So you're right. You could have one or the other or both. Mm-hmm. And so in this case, I don't know where the criminal investigation is going to go to because I don't know the circumstances of what the state attorney's office will end up doing with that. But I do support, as I mentioned before, Sheriff Aiden's decision based upon what I saw in the video. That I think would be a violation of our policy as well. And so I would support the action that he took.
I assume the key things are that the gun was pointed down and he didn't have time to react to the command stop, go back up, whatever. It was too quick.
Well, yeah, there are, I would give you this, there are shooting simulations that we do all the time, whether mm-hmm. you're in rookie school or you're in continuing training. And almost all of them have some sort of a version where an individual has a gun, but they're not pointing the gun at you. And then you have to decide, shoot and don't shoot. We do that training because we don't want you to shoot when you don't have to shoot. We don't when shooting a firearm is not absolutely necessary. In that situation, again, it's Monday morning quarterbacking, but right. that's what we do all the time. And that's why how we train, and that's how we get better.
In the report, you know, the interview with the deputy, he talks extensively about how he felt at the time, felt scared, felt concerned for his life. And he's got a long history in being a cop and also being in the military prior to all of this. And again, as you said, FDLE has not concluded their investigation, nor has Ginger Bowden announced, and certainly she wouldn't until after FDLE, whether charges will be pressed. But did you see a crime committed, in your opinion?
Again, I think I'd hold off on whether I see a crime okay. because I haven't read a report. I've seen the reports of the
yep.
the internal investigation. Again, just because it's an internal violation does not necessarily mean that there's a crime committed. A lot of times a crime needs – well, not a lot of times. Every time a crime needs intent. Mm-hmm. You need to make a determination whether that individual intended to commit a crime. You can't unintentionally commit a crime. And I think that's what they're going to have to weigh. And I would imagine that decision will take some time still, you know,
right.
the state attorney's office after they get the report from the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, and not being privy to that report from the FDLE, and not reading word for word the IA. I think it would be bad form for me to comment about that.
So turning now to Escambia County, where we have unfortunately had no lack of things to talk about here in the past week. Let's start with this. The Ring camera that we've all seen where the man sees some neighbors putting what branches on his side of the fence, goes out, scolds them, and then, you know, I actually, let me, I'm going to play it for you because it's just we haven't played it yet on the show, and it is worth at least hearing the incident as it panned out. So this was the shooting preliminary. Jimmy, turn my computer on over there for a second. Okay, here we go.
Being an actual resident.
Oops, sorry. This is not the one. There we go.
What's up there, bro?
What's going on there, bro? It's on your side.
It's on you. Frank, come on. All right, let's go.
There's some scuffling.
All right. You want to hit me? And you got some soft-ass hit?
So he's got a soft hit. He says he's complaining. You know, he's scolding him after he got hit and punched, and he comes back in the house. At which point?
Well, my understanding is that he left that scuffle. And he went into his house. He retreated to his house, mm-hmm. picked up a firearm, and then came outside and shot the 70-something-year-old. I couldn't hear what you were listening right. to, so I can't refer to that. But I can tell you that we felt like he did not need to go to his house and get a gun and bring it out to the fight. Again, we talk a lot about reasonableness and whether at the time of drawing the weapon and firing the weapon, if he felt like his life was in danger. He went to get the gun and then brought it back to the fight. And right. it's to me, the whole thing is ridiculous. You can't have a conversation that even leads to an argument with a neighbor without escalating into this sort of thing. So,
and it's, you know, I know some people might have the idea, well, you know, if it's on his property, isn't he standing his ground? Well, he ran away and came back. That's not stand your ground. That's yield your ground and return to the ground and escalate the conflict.
You escalate, right. You brought a weapon to a shoving match, basically.
Right.
And no, that's not cool.
When you were completely separated from it for a time.
You had an opportunity. You could have walked away.
You could have stayed in your gun.
Yeah. I mean, you could have stayed in your home.
Right.
And not picked up the gun and brought it back out. So that's our scenario.
We're talking to Tuscambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. We had a shooting on Montclair, and you're looking for a 16-year-old woman just for questioning. Is that right?
Well, the shooting involved the victim was a 16-year-old female, and we're looking for two people actually for questioning. Let me get their names here real quick. We're looking for, here we go. Michael Sean Fulater, Fulater, and also Glenn Allen Janes, the third. Both of their pictures are on our social media platform, our Facebook page. You can take a look at them. We are looking for them in connection to this homicide, this 16-year-old girl.
Yeah, and they're wanted only for questioning in this particular case, but this is, you know, 16-year-olds shooting at each other. It's pretty concerning on Montclair Road, right?
Absolutely concerning. I wanted one more name also. We're looking for three people. All right, so we're looking for Michael Fulater, looking for Zane Cole Cook, and we're looking for Glenn Allen James, as I just mentioned. So we believe that they have information that, regarding this homicide, either they were there or they have information. So if you know where we can find these three individuals, please give us a call. We do consider, I wouldn't approach them yourself. We ask that you would contact us and let us do the approaching for you. Again, I want to mention their names again. They're pictures. They look like all three young white males, Glenn Janes, Zane Cook, and Michael Fulater. If you know them, please tell them to contact us. And if you know where they are, please contact us because we want to have a word.
Yeah. In the category of traffic stop leads to all kinds of things, you have a traffic stop that led to methamphetamines, ammunition, a bunch of stuff, right?
Yeah, I believe this is one where she didn't have a tag on the car, and she's running around. This is she being 35-year-old Ashley Carter, who happens to be a convicted felon, riding around the area of 9 Mile in Bridalwood. We found 115 grams of meth, 31 grams of fentanyl, some ammunition, some drug paraphernalia, and we ended up charging her with trafficking in the methamphetamine and trafficking in fentanyl. And all this other sort of stuff that's associated with driving with a bunch of bad stuff.
And driving around without a tag, and so.
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure why you'd run around a tag anyway, and especially not while you've got trafficking amounts of methamphetamine and fentanyl. So she went to jail, she took the ride, and hopefully she stays there for a little while.
I think it's a conversation we might have had with Mike Wood last week about how, you know, you would think if you were engaged in criminal activity, you would sort of drive the speed limit, stop at the stop sign, and have a tag. But we're glad they don't.
Well, I thank God every day for stupid criminals and you know, giving themselves up, basically.
I thought it was interesting. She did not have an actual firearm, but possession of ammunition is a violation, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, and I don't think her thought processes were the best.
I got
again,
you.
So.
We also, and this is just, again, in the horrible things you all have to deal with, there was a domestic violence homicide yesterday. Not of, like, you think tend to think of this as in, you know, man and wife kind of thing, but this is pretty bad, right?
Yeah, a son, we ended up arresting a son for the murder of his father. This happened, we had a busy day yesterday, but this happened probably overnight Sunday. An air conditioning crew, they were scheduled to go to the house. They went to the house. The door was ajar. They went inside and found a male deceased from gunshot wounds. Gave us a call. Our investigators, again, doing a jam-up job, backtracked, did some obviously investigating research, and discovered that the son committed the crime, ended up charging him with a homicide.
Do you know ages on the victim or the...
I believe the victim was in his 50s, and the suspect is in his 20s.
Young 20s.
Yeah, I had that with me.
And do we know anything else about motive or
circumstances? Well, it looks like the motive looks like money. Again, it's going to be associated with the failure to give him enough money.
And did you say a location or a rough vicinity? I don't know.
I think it was on the west side. I don't have the address with me. All right. Right now it's on the west side. Oak Knoll, I believe, is the name of the road.
And one of the things that had come up, it was kind of in the news right after we talked last week, but the installation of new cameras on the boardwalk out on Pensacola Beach, something that I guess your office is either doing or redoing or something.
Yeah. We're all of that. We're okay. We did the real-time crime center about 8 months ago. We went up on that. And the thought there is that we would integrate all the outside cameras in public space into our real-time crime center. And as I started looking around at different locations where we could get cameras, I'm also looking for different funding sources as well, because we don't have the budget for all this. And we think that this is a game changer. This technology is a game changer for law enforcement. We use this real-time crime center every single event, every major crime that we have, including the ones that we had yesterday, including the murder on Montclair. So when I looked at it, I thought, you know, if we could get a couple more cameras on Pensacola Beach, we could have basically the whole public area of Pensacola Beach covered. And while there's very few crimes reported on Pensacola Beach, we want to keep it that way.
Right.
Pensacola Beach is a jewel for Escambia County.
It had been a problem a few years back with the frays and drinking.
Right.
And
the parking lots. And people were acting a fool there for a couple years ago. And I thought, why don't we just get these cameras? And we approached the Island Authority, had a meeting with them, a very good meeting, and they said, you know what, we'll help you. Let's start with the boardwalk area, and then maybe we'll talk about the Casino Beach area secondarily. I said, okay. So we decided that they would help fund 7 locations with 28 total cameras on the entire area of the boardwalk. Now, we've already installed cameras on our precinct, which is in one end of the Casino Beach parking lot. And there are other cameras out in there, but we wanted to upgrade all these cameras and make sure that we have a coverage of the entire area in Pensacola Beach. And my thought is, if you're not committing a crime, why are you worried about cameras in the parking lot? In fact, if I'm going to drive a car, I want you to have cameras so no one breaks into my car. And again, if you're coming to Pensacola Beach and you're going to, you know, vacation here, and you're aware of the proactive nature of the Escambia County Sheriff's Office and the Island Authority and those with money, I think that it's a good thing.
I personally, when I pull into a store, I think about it. You know, if I pull into a store and I got to park my car, especially if it's at night, I always think, hey, do they have cameras? Great. And if they don't, dang it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you're a little more
concerned.
Because
I know that the thieves are going to pay attention to that. And, you know, at least there's some level of either deterrence or apprehendability on the back end if there's cameras around. So, you know, I'm a fan generally.
Well, you walk into a bank, you know you're going to be on camera. Right. You walk into a store, you know you're going to be on some sort of camera. You could go visit a big city like New York City. They have cameras everywhere.
Right.
And all big cities have these cameras. And I think that we're just now, we're kind of behind the times, but we're really making a lot of ground up with regards to what we're doing with our technology and our real-time crime center.
Last thing I wanted to ask you about, somebody had brought it up to me after the show last week, had asked, do you train people in firearms? Because we had talked quite a bit about that. And the answer is yes, and the first class already sold out first day yesterday.
Well, we got a state grant. There was money appropriated through the legislature last year that to allow sheriff's office to put on, I think it's associated whenever they did this constitutional carry legislation. And we took advantage of that, and we had our first one. We're having it on June the 15th. However, it did fill up a space as limited as you can imagine to our range. So it's already filled up, but we will have at least one more, maybe two more these coming up. Depends on,
depending on the funding.
We should have the funding for one or two more.
Oh, okay.
But it depends on how much capacity we can fill up. And this first one is the first one that we've done in many years. But yeah, our thought is that we could help people and let, you know, train them a little bit about the knowledge about the weapons that they have.
Very good. Scambi Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, sir, thanks for, you know, when you're busy, it's, you know, we wish you didn't have to be, but we're glad that you are and that your folks do such a good job investigating to resolve these crimes and prevent them, and for the time and the information this morning, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.